Is it recording?
Now it is.
Okay.
This week on All My Children and One Life to Live, who's your daddy? Rex finds out that his father is the devil in disguise.
Where's your daddy? Madison is on the run from Daddy Warbucks.
What's your daddy? Charlie forgot that he was a killer, but now he remembers.
Why's your daddy your daddy? Since they couldn't make it to the all-night fertility clinic, David sexes Mandy to get her pregnant.
And how's your daddy? Very happy. Michael and Marcy celebrate their little Gabriel.
All this week on the Pine View podcast. People were suggesting that maybe we should change the name to reflect
TV and other ephemera. Is that a word? Ephemera? That's a word, right? What accuse us of is not being positive. So we're going to try to be positive. And what I'm going to say is I'm positive. I hate the show right now. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. Why the F would you bring him back? Why?
Woof, woof, woof. Screaming alert.
All right, I'm going to try to think of something positive.
Angie's weave is behaving.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
What a little hot this week.
First of all, I'm going to say it. I'm just going to come out and say it. I am not amused.
What?
I don't think Erica Keane's a bitch. I think Julie Handcraft Brothers is a bitch.
Yeah. We watch so you don't have to.
And you're going to have to start paying us for that because I don't know how much long I can watch with you.
Welcome to the Pine View Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your happy co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine View Podcast for the week ending November 13th, 2009.
Woo! It's finally happening.
We've got to make the transition.
Yes, yes, people. I'm so ecstatic.
Listen, but here's my question for you. We're not exactly settled on Pine View Podcast, are we, Jordan Hudson?
Yes, we're going to open it. You want to open it up? Like, have, like, everybody send in submissions
yes.
and have, like, a competition, kind of like a Regis and Kelly thing.
I feel like it was Elizabeth who said Pine View City Podcast,
yeah,
which I like.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if we even need to make it even more generic, because we talk about so much stuff.
We do talk about a lot of stuff.
A lot of television.
We could call it the Jordan and Ashley Hour.
Ooh, that's not bad.
I'm sorry, the Ashley and Jordan Hour. Look at that. I was like, put my name first. I'm sorry. It just flowed better than
the
tongue.
Jordash. A lot of people like to call us Jordash.
Jordash.
Maybe call it, but then we have copyright infringement.
No, because we're Jordash, not Jordach.
Oh, Achy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So, but I like it. I Louis, we got to thank Louis for the new
opening.
So we're going to be playing between One Life and All My Children
and
opening.
And some such other stuff as well.
Yes. Yeah, well, you guys got to understand. For me personally, look, I love me and all my children, but lately, every time I try to tune into that show, my eyes start bleeding. I swear, I'm not lying.
Blood comes out of my eye.
I look like Carrie. It's like unbelievable. I can't watch it.
Comes out of my eyeball.
It hurts too much. It hurts. Deserve. What are you doing?
It hurts almost as much as my plug duct boobies. I just put a heating pad on my boobie. I'm not showing you my boobie.
I know. No, she's not joking. People, she's been complaining about the pain, but I didn't know she's going to break out with a heating pad on her breast.
Any of you that have any advice, I know we get a lot of moms listening and watching the show. I got a plug duct. That basically means that when you breastfeed, something happened. It's plugged up and the milk ain't coming out. So now it's just filling up. My boobie's filling up, but nothing's coming out. And it hurts, Jordan.
It's like kind of having blue balls.
And one of my babies can't get any milk. It's kind of like having blue balls. It's blue boobs.
You wouldn't know, though. You don't have a little wee-wee.
You know who would know?
Who?
Man has J-Lo. I swear that woman has a ball sack.
She's like that runner in from Africa.
Carlos and I were saying that she just, look, we were talking about this earlier, Jordan Hudson.
On the car right here, yeah.
She has a funny looking body now. Like, they dress her so terribly for her body type. I'm sorry, but those sleeveless dresses.
She has a bizarre body because at some points her body looks like a boy because it's straight and there's no, and then all of a sudden there'll be like a movement, like a curve, and then it's like straight. It's a very awkward looking body.
Yeah.
She's not aging well. Because no. I remember her from Savannah. She was hot in Savannah.
There's not, you know, like, why don't you talk to Susan Lucci?
Yeah, you need to talk to Susan Lucci. Susan Lucci can help you out, girl.
Absolutely. absolutely.
This
true.
Woman is like something, something, and she still looks better than half the girls in the show that are in their 20s. That's so come on. Saying. I'm sorry. And, go talk to her. Say, Susan, I need your help.
I need your help.
I need an extreme
like
Susan Lucci makeover.
A ball sack.
Susan Lucci should do that. She should forget about All My Children and come out with the extreme Susan Lucci makeover.
Oh, my God. That would
and
be
Susan, Susan, you got to contact
it.
Me, Susan.
Pitch it.
We got to pitch it to ABC. The Susan Lucci Extreme Makeover. And Susan Lucci will help you with your hair, with Pilates, with your wardrobe, looking good, feeling good, so that you could be something, something age and still look
she
like a runway
help,
model.
And she will help you with your Kegel exercises.
Yes.
Because, you know, if everything else could be in shape, but if the tong-tong ain't working.
Now you tell everybody what you were telling me about Jamie Luna's tonton, what you thought.
Listen.
You were comparing her to somebody that used to be on One Life to Live.
She used to have on One Life to Live, Vaginessa. Her name was actually Vaginessa, and she just looked odorific. She just did. I'm sorry. I don't, and even when, sometimes I swear when Christian looked at her, he would like turn his nose a little bit. He'd be like, his nose would pinch up a little tiny
her,
bit.
This poor actress. She's probably never going to work again. And you're
she was
like,
in a McDonald's commercial.
Was she really?
Yes, she was.
Morticia?
She was. There's a lot of One Life to Live people. There's the guy that plays Eli. Is
well,
in
how could
commercial.
You miss it? They keep showing it during One Life to
it's
Live.
True.
It's like the scene will end on Eli, and then all of a sudden the next thing is the commercial with him in it.
Yeah, it's true.
Hysterical.
And who's the other African-American actress, beautiful girl? She's in like a Chase commercial. She's always in commercials. She was on that fireman show a little bit.
Rescue Me.
Yeah, Rescue
Sherry
Me.
Shum. She used to be on One Night to Live.
Yes,
you know who she is, right?
She's on
Kamar De La Reyes's wife, Antonio, Christian's brother.
Oh my
they
God.
Married
so they both
it. They
married.
They were together in the show,
so
and they fell in love.
They both married actors from One Life to Live.
What do you mean?
Christian Vega.
Yes, and Christian's married to my gorgeous Adriana.
Oh, she's beautiful.
She's so hot. I'd go back for her. Bitchy bangs.
Back
bitchy
to
bangs.
Jamie Luner. Listen, you would think we were perfect the way we talk about this woman, but she just has this awkward body and she's got a lot of makeup caked on and she just looks like she has a sweaty ball sack. I can't help it. She's maybe not stinky, maybe not like odorous, but definitely sweaty. Carlos and I call it sweaty balls. She got a lot of sweaty balls. What?
You are crazy. All right,
fine. I'm crazy.
Did you notice, though? I noticed that they've been doing her hair so that she has, like, not bangs, but, like, a wisp of hair that comes down. And I think it's covering those two boils on her forehead. I think that's what they decided to do. Because those things don't seem to be going away.
I think she had them lanced.
Well, if she did have them lanced, they'd leave a scar. So that's why those, like, bangs or whatever those
Listen,
strips
Jamie
of hair.
Listen, you in a no-win situation because you are a beautiful lady.
Kind of. Used
but,
to be.
Sort of. But the problem is that you are on a show that you have no place on that show.
And you will never, ever be Liza Kobe. I'm sorry to tell you, miss. There is no way. It's never going to happen. I'm never going to accept it. You're not Liza. You're not Liza, miss.
This heating pad ain't hot enough.
Go back to Just the 10 of Us. That was her. That was her. The spinoff of Growing Pains that she was on when she was like 12. It's so stupid. I will say this. I will be tuning in to the 40th anniversary of All My Children because they're bringing back like 7 cast members, 6 cast members as of
and
now.
And one of them is...
Miss Julia Pa, who played Brooke. Oh my God!
Shadow told me that.
Yeah, but it's
you don't
read Daytime Confidential. And we love Soap Not Dead. Aren't you on them?
I love them both. I don't have
the
time.
Yeah, because they've been announcing it all the week. They've been updating us. It's Julia Barr.
Shadow told me.
Julia Barr, Lev Ramblin.
Levin Ramblin.
Whatever her name is, the ex drug addict. She's on she got Grey's Anatomy. She works a lot. She got Grey's Anatomy.
I'm excited about all of them, but Levin Ramblin, she was a blip on the canvas of All My Children.
Yeah, but they need her to come back and go 28, 42, 31, 19. 40th anniversary. That's what she's going to do.
Red.
She's going to come back to say 40th anniversary, 29, 30, no 40th.
I wish that they would bring her back in a completely red outfit from head to toe.
Red outfit?
You know how she hated the color red? She'd be like spinning topsy-turvy on the set.
No, you know what? They should have a 40th anniversary party at the hospital, and then everybody has to wear red, and then she shows up and freaks out. That would be a great storyline.
I would love
Look,
it.
They're
what
coming
was the
back.
Storyline? Get it? Remember the red ball? She couldn't.
Oh, right. Dumb, oh, yeah.
Dumb.
Well, look. Hayley and Mateo are coming back.
Yay.
Like wait. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's the two more. Does yes. Oh, I love the middle. Yay. Okay. I love that girl. She's so stupid. Ah, you know who my sister loves, and I have to admit, you know what really makes the middle is that little boy who plays the little son. Oh, he is hysterical. He cracks me up. He's like, so you gotta get my project ready by Thursday. Thursday. I love when he does that. He cracks me up. Oh man. Cause I'll tell you,
You're not a boyfriend. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a big Patricia Heaton fan. I think she's the weakest link on the show. I mean, I think that everybody else is so good.
She does even do an accent.
Yeah.
Like a Midwest accent.
Yeah,
she's
like the weakest link. I mean, she's not horrible by any stretch of the imagination.
But I think
the fact that the rest of the cast is so talented and their characters are so great that they really cover her ass.
Wait a minute.
Did they cancel that Kelsey Grammer show finally? Oh, thank God.
But you were on a rant. About who's coming back to the show.
Oh, wait. Who were the two other people? There were two more people.
Taylor Miller.
Yes. Nina. Taylor Miller. They better not be killing off Palmer, I swear to God. Because why would they bring Nina? Nina hasn't been on the show since like 1990.
So wait, who is that? So that's Mark A. Kelly, Taylor Miller, Julia Barlow.
I'm forgetting one person. Anyway. The point is that as much as I'm gonna see, you got more faith than I do.
Yeah, they're gonna blow it. No,
you have to understand. Chuck Pratt is writing the show.
He's a Pratt homie.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that Brooke comes back and she's been a pole dancer in Singapore.
Eva LaRue
and Lawrence Lau. So this is my theory. Brooke is gonna come back and we're gonna find out that she's been a pole dancer in Singapore for the last few years. Hayley and Mateo come back, and we find out that Hayley's a lesbian, so what Mateo did was get a sex change so he could become a woman so she could be happy. These are the storylines that I think Chuck Pratt's going to do.
Who killed Babe? Was it Pratt Hole or the one before?
No, that was Pratt's idea to kill Babe.
So F them, because if he hadn't killed Babe, she could come back with Jamie. Be awesome. The real Alexa could come back with Jamie.
I'm ecstatic about Lawrence Law coming back, because I think Lawrence Law still looks good. He's just like Jesse and Angie. Mm-hmm. He has aged beautifully. And for a white person, that's saying a lot. Beautiful. He looks hot, let me tell you. He was an As the World Turns.
This could only be better if Dixie and who the hell am I thinking about? Oh, the real Liza could come back.
I can't even think like that.
It's too painful.
It's too painful. Because I want... You don't understand. I love me my Marcy Walker. I love me my Marcy Walker. It's like... Okay, you all know that there was only one person that I thought could replace Marcy Walker in that role. And
Beth Chamberlain.
Miss Beth Chamberlain.
And now she's doing infomercials.
Yeah, well... Kettlebell. She's right. Kettlebells are fabulous. I love kettlebells.
What the hell are kettlebells?
Kettlebells are these Russian import instruments. They're they look like little balls with a little hook handle.
Oh my god!
And they're a great way of working out. I discovered kettlebells about like a year or two ago. It gets you.
You're too talented for this, please.
No. Kettlebells are fierce, girl. She's doing a service.
Standards. Come on now.
Honey, money. It's all about the money.
You gotta hold.
It's all about the money. It's all about the money.
She got enough money right now to hold her for a little while.
Look,
she's full of it.
We're gonna talk about All My Children for 5 seconds, because then we gotta go to One Night to Live, because a lot happened on One Night to Live this week. Because One Night to Live was hot this week.
I'm gonna tell you that.
But when is it not? When is it not?
But I got some issues. We'll talk about those.
Yeah, me and you aren't gonna agree on that. But let's talk about. Let's get All My Children out of the way real quick. Nothing really happened on All My Children this week.
No, but you know what I love about All My Children?
What?
The commercials. I say that every week.
The commercials for All My Children or the commercials during All My Children?
The commercials during All My Children. Some are very funny. Some are very heartfelt. Others are very creative. I really enjoy them.
You like that tampon commercial?
I love it. With the magician?
Okay.
I love it. They're wonderful. I love that birth control pill commercial. I love the bra commercial. They're so creative.
Okay, what happened to All My Children?
All right. This is the thing. I told Jordan I have a new
technique. I
have a new technique for watching All My Children.
What do you do?
I watch Friday's episode. That's it.
And that basically is... exactly what happened Monday through Thursday. So you're saving yourself some time.
Seriously.
Nothing really happened. Nothing really happened.
I got two babies. All right. So here's what happened. I guess somehow, some way, David roped Amanda into another baby so that she could be with Jake. I don't know.
This is where I see. All right. Wait. This is where my eyes start bleeding. I'm sorry. I don't understand how Amanda thinks that keeping. Well, go ahead, say that.
In America, how could a man contractually force a woman to have a baby so that he could free her to be with her husband. I don't understand.
I don't understand how she thinks that by doing this, she's going to be okay with Jake and this is going to save her marriage to Jake. I mean,
it's the dumbest thing ever.
This is why I don't blame Chrishell Stiles for quitting.
I don't understand why her fertility appointment was in the dead of night.
I mean, you guys out there, you explain to me how I'm supposed to respect and watch all my children when they give us a storyline like this.
This is beyond
insulting our intelligence. This makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Well, this is the reason the Daytime Confidential and Nelson Branco and everybody is boycotting All My Children because of storylines like this. This is retarded. Brian Fonz, why won't Soap Opera Weekly, Soap Opera Digest, somebody get these people, interview them, and give them the hard questions? I am letting you guys know, if you guys can get in contact with Brian Fonz, we will have him on our podcast. We will interview him. We will interview Chuck Pratt. I would love to give them a piece of my mind and get them to answer some questions, because I want Chuck Pratt to explain to me how in his crack den, because obviously him and his writers must be smoking some crack up on Harlem. How, I shouldn't say Harlem.
That's racist.
That's racist. I shouldn't say Harlem. On Park Avenue. In Harlem. How they can think that this is a good idea. No. That they came up with this and they said, wow, that's brilliant, dude. Like, I mean, honestly, come on, explain to me.
You gotta ask Jonathan. He emailed us on Facebook and he said, look, if you two wanna know how the show is still doing great, some of my coworkers are prime examples. They love it. We were discussing what was going on at lunch today, and one coworker was sad that they were recasting Colby. I like this Colby, she said. Another stated her shock that it was Adam who killed Stuart. And they both hate Annie and Scott and love Randy. So there you go. Stupid. I'm going to tell your coworkers right now to their faces. If I had them right in front of my face, I would take the heel of my hand and I would just slap that forehead silly. They're stupid. Am I right?
Stupid.
Thank you. You know what else is stupid?
What?
Beth Ann Bonner.
That's your girl.
This is my girl, but here's my problem.
You don't like those tattoos?
That's not the problem.
I like her hair.
I can't understand a freaking word she's saying. Her and Aiden in the scene. I need to turn on the closed captioning.
With the mute button.
Mute button on closed captioning. She's like this. So, and I really miss you. Oh. Where have you been all these years? So I'll just make kind of a jaw. You can't understand that. You can't understand that.
You look like Kristen Wiig's character Penelope for Saturday Night Live. You like that? I love that character. That's that one up girl that she's like always like, well, I did this. I love that character.
I climbed 6 mountains. 6 mountains I climbed.
Yeah.
2 days. She's brilliant, though. I could never
Did you see last week when Taylor Swift was on?
Yeah, I did.
And there was the wedding, and she goes, I went to the moon for my honeymoon. It was made of honey. I was like, work, this bitch is thick. I like
Jilly. Jilly. Sorry. That's one of my favorites. Anyway, all right. So then you put her and Aiden in a scene. It's just not working for me. I want to tell her.
Didn't he get fired? Why is he still on? Why is he still haunting my screen? I thought he was gone.
Dead. I thought they were gonna put a stake through his heart or an arrow in his skull. Damn. We talked about J-Lo's body. Did we talk about? I did not see this. Did we talk about Madison trapped in the closet? We already did a Trapped in the Closet song, so you ain't gonna hear another spoof of that. Because it's so retarded. It's dumb, stupid, bull crapo. Am I right? He's crying.
I forgot somebody on our blog. I'm so sorry. I gotta start taking notes of who. Because our listeners are so incredibly passionate and funny, and they crack me up. And I forgot who was so astute by saying what made it even worse was Frankie's dead reaction.
He's dead.
Like, if it was every day that you open a closet and some blonde woman's in your closet.
So stupid. So dumb. So ridiculous.
And I feel so. And you said it too. You feel bad for these actors because they have to play this stuff.
I feel they are not. They don't. The only people that deserve Aiden and Randy.
I know.
Everyone else doesn't.
I know as actors, your job is to act, but come on, people. Give them something to work with.
Did you see Torsten on The View on Friday?
No. What happened?
He was delicious.
Oh.
You hate him.
I don't like him.
Whoopi loves him. He was a little awkward. awkward on
that's
The View.
He was awkward?
A little bit awkward. I think he was a little bit awkward.
Well, because he's not a queen.
He's not big time.
They need to, no, it's not that he's not big time. They need a queen. You can't, that's a show that is hosted by women.
The only man,
that's what I'm saying. The only man that will work on The View is a queen. They should hire me.
You'd be good.
Oh, that's what Barbara Walters say. I wanted to do a show with different perspectives. An African-American woman, a Chinese woman, and a Latin gay man. What? That would be fierce. That'd be fierce. Jordan Hudson on The View. Work. Wouldn't that be cute? That'd be cute.
What we do here. I like to think that's kind of what we do.
Well, you know what? Kelly, call me when Regis goes. Yeah. I'll take over.
We should be
live with Jordan and Kelly.
He should be good for another 100 years, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, he ain't going nowhere. I was looking at him the other day, and I think they're going to wheel him out. He's going to be like, what's his name? Larry King.
No, he's going to be like Nash.
But what's this gay thing that's going on with him and Derek Jeter? We can't talk about that yet. Wait, but what's up with Regis and Derek Jeter? What's that gay romance? That's some bromance going on there.
Derek Jeter is not gay. That's stupid.
No, I didn't say Derek Jeter was gay. I'm saying that Regis is having some kind of gay romance with him. Haven't you been watching The Soup? I don't watch Regis and Kelly live anymore. Regis and Kelly's gotten so stupid lately.
I agree.
And when she first started, I loved her on it, and I don't know, but it's gotten so, like, dumbed down. You know what I mean?
It confuses me because every show, it's supposed to be a live show, and I feel like she's wearing a different outfit for every segment, so it makes me feel like segments are taped.
Pre-taped.
Yeah.
Possibility.
So
Well, you know, Regis is getting up there. Maybe they got to pre-tape. Maybe they can't do live with Regis anymore. Maybe Regis ain't alive.
I don't know. Who am I? I don't know. Well, maybe. Better about it.
I was going to say that, you idiot.
Okay.
So wait, I will say this about Fridays All My Children. The one scene that I did live for was when Annie went off on Ryan in that hospital room.
All right, she's good.
Because I'm going to say this. Annie, Melissa Claire Egan, my gorgeous Adam Mayfield, and my fossil David Canary, they need to be given an award. And I know you give out that, what is it, Shit to Shinola Award?
That's right.
They need, we got to come up with something else, because what they're doing is beyond that. They actually
It's like carving the statue of David out of a steaming hunk of Gucci's crap.
I like that.
That's right.
That's it. I gotta tell you, I am amazed that they give so much to this storyline, and they give any credibility to this garbage that Chuck Pratt has given them. And it was really. I like that word.
Good word, right?
It's a good word. I like that word. Say it again.
Boquería.
That's a very Puerto Rican word. I love it.
I don't know what it means.
I don't know what it means. It's something bad.
Junk.
But it's worse. See, the thing is, you can't translate certain Latin words, right? Because
Nelson, do you know what that means? See. Si.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Nasty.
Yeah, si, nasty.
What does it mean? What does it mean in English?
What do you mean? Porquería?
Si.
Yeah, like nasty.
Like nasty.
Yeah, like really, really dirty. You don't got to tell
because
them who
when
he
Nelson,
is.
When my friend Nelson just said it, he made a real bad face.
Yeah, it's not something cute. You would never say that. Like if somebody ever said that to you, that's fatten words.
Nelson's helping fix my sink and my washing machine because it's broken.
Yes.
Thank you, Nelson.
You don't know who Nelson was. We didn't want you to think that Ashley's stepping out on
I'm not stepping out on Carlos.
Yeah.
He's helping out.
It's that kind of thing where like, and I really love the dialogue because Annie reamed Ryan a new one. She was like, "Do you know what you've done to me? You've taken away my the love I had for you, my sanity, my this, my that."
She was right.
And she was right. She was right in everything she did, because you know what? I'm sorry, but if I was there, I would have taken a scalpel and sliced Ryan. That's how mad I was at Ryan.
Terrible.
No, Ryan is the biggest misogynistic a-hole.
He is
unbelievable. The way he was so arrogant, and he was like, Annie falls down, and he starts like applauding. Give it up. I wanted to clock him one, because it reminded you that everything Annie said was right. Annie was so right when she said, Ryan has put her through freaking hell with his getting shot in the head and his amnesia and his loving Kendall and then him loving Greenlee. And the way he treats Annie, and then he wonders why Annie's done the shit that she's done the last 2 years, is because you deserve it, you skank hole motherfucker.
You tell him, Jordan Hudson.
I hate Ryan. Ryan Lavery is the most disgusting male character on Daytime
Cameron,
right now. I cannot stand him.
Go to GMA.
Just
save our eyeballs. And then him kissing Erica on Friday.
Look, I can't even get into that. I can't even. But I like the fact that Annie told him off. I like that scene. Wow. But then she collapsed.
Can I just tell you something?
What?
I am so freaking sick of pregnant people and baby crap on all my children.
It's what I told you.
Annie is now
Chuck
pregnant.
Pratt took.
I'm so sick of it.
Chuck Pratt took the name of the show way too seriously.
I am so sick of it. Done with babies, impregnating women, and this and that. First of all, Adam is 97 and a half years old. How the hell is he even getting, you know, Woody? A Woody. You know.
Don't you remember that scene where he got the Viagra from David?
Yeah, but he may be able to get it up, but it ain't going off.
You know, I don't like it. Even.
You know what I said?
Yes. I heard what you said.
That was pure common genius.
You could get the gun up, but it's still shooting blanks.
Thank you.
Look.
Listen, his little guys, they're on walkers.
That's so hard.
It's true. His little spermies are like, wait for me, egg, wait for me, egg, wait for me, egg, wait for me, egg. I'm coming to get you, egg. I'm coming to get you. Oh.
I'm poking your egg, but I can't. I can't get it in.
Open up, egg, open up.
It's terrible. You're a hard egg. Look. I will say this.
And the egg's like, no, you just an old man. That's what I'm saying.
Look, this is the deal. I forgot what I was going to say.
What if they had a Down syndrome baby? Seriously.
They did that on Guiding Light.
They should do it.
It was a brilliant storyline. They did it on Guiding Light already.
A friend of mine had Down's baby. You
think that Chuck... Oh, speaking of Down, did you see Glee this week?
I started to watch it with the walkers.
I didn't see the end.
I'm halfway through it.
Oh, I don't want to ruin it
don't
for you then. I can't ruin it for you.
I love it. Don't ruin it.
But did you see the girl with Down syndrome that tried out for the Cheerios, didn't you?
Oh, no, I didn't see that yet. Don't ruin it for me, please.
You're not halfway through the show. She was in the very beginning of the show.
Why don't I remember that?
She was with the cheerleader. She was buying the cookies. A little girl with the Down syndrome.
Oh God, no! I must have. What the hell?
I don't want to ruin it. You gotta watch it. Let me tell you something.
Watch it at like 4 a.m. I know. When I'm nursing,
you gotta understand something. Glee this week. Every week, Glee just keeps getting better and better. And this week's episode was Jane Lynch was phenomenal. I'm so mad that you didn't see it because we can't talk about it. All I will say is that Jane Lynch is a godsend because this woman could do everything from drama to comedy.
She's grown on me. She's brilliant.
She's
grown on me.
I've loved her from Arrested Development. That's the first time I discovered her.
I discovered her on the movies.
I never saw any of those movies. I gotta see those movies.
I'm talking about those are like my kind of movies. I told you I had a hard time with her in the role at the beginning because it was too cookie cutter. It was too like black and white for me. But now
you need to see this episode.
No, I like her now.
I know, but you need to see. This episode is about her. It opens up your doors to, and I love the fact that the characters are becoming more. The more we get to see them and know them, all the characters are becoming more three-dimensional and rich and interesting. Because you believe it or not, there's a lot of Finn backlash now. Everybody wants Puck.
The Mohawk guy?
Yeah.
I like him too. He's sexy.
Yeah, well, it's not just because he's sexy, but like...
He likes her.
You remember the episode where him and Rachel got together? The Bachelor's Girl?
That was so funny.
Everybody
want to make out? She's like, sure.
Daytime Confidential had a poll, and it was hands down, people wanted her with Puck, not with Finn.
Really?
I have to say,
I like a cheerleader with Puck. I think they got good chemistry.
I think they got good chemistry too. But I gotta admit, Rachel and Puck were hot together.
But she didn't feel it.
I think you know what the thing with Finn. You know why Finn lost points with me?
She didn't feel it.
I know, but you know why Finn lost points with me?
Why?
Finn was a douche.
A douche.
Douchebag. The way he manipulated Rachel. I know you said that's the way kids are, or that my sister said that. But I still was like, he took advantage of the fact that she liked them to get her back into Glee.
Can we finish all my children?
I thought we were done.
Oh. All right, fine.
Look, this is all I'm going to say about all my children. We're done with it. Now let's move on.
Can we go to a good example of baby inclusion?
Oh, that's how you were talking about a Down syndrome baby. That's how we diverse.
I think it would be
Guiding Light already did it. I don't appreciate Chuck Pratt writing anything serious.
You're right, he's asking for the wrong writer.
Could you imagine? Oh. What cancer? That's a storyline?
I know.
What are they doing? Let me tell you something. You wanna see a storyline dealing with cancer? Kitty on Brothers and Sisters.
But also Kim Zimmer.
Yeah, well, Guiding Light is done with. But right now, Kitty, my Kitty on Brothers and Sisters is dealing with lymphoma, and it is brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I'm, like, crying every week. All right.
Can I give a good example of baby inclusion on a show? You don't want me to start One Life to Live, do you?
Yeah, I'm done with all my children. Let's go to One Life to Live.
Marcy had her baby this week on One Life to Live. And I'm going to tell you something. There wasn't enough people in the room for my taste, but there were actually. It wasn't bad. Like, the way she had her baby on the table, and there was, like, a obstetrician who was like, are we ready? We're ready
I
to go.
I love the
it
obstetrician.
It was fantastic. That's
I so believe that that was a real doctor.
Are. Absolutely.
Like, I made a comment, I made a note of that.
Crazy.
She was
like,
that actress. But this is why One Night to Live's casting department should be winning awards for casting, because they don't cast just anybody.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what role, doesn't matter how many lines. They
the
want
Seattle
people who can act.
Good.
Everybody was good.
Yeah,
everybody
was good.
All those doctors were good. The the black administrator who
she
put
was great.
She put Nora and Bo. She didn't care who they I don't care that you're the DA and the police chief from Landview. This is my hospital, yo. I was, like, fierce. No, she wasn't all ghetto. I was just acting like that. But she was fierce.
She was fierce.
She did not, you know, this wasn't some young actress who thought, oh, I'm working opposite Hillary. You know, no, she was.
They hold their own.
They hold their own. And I love that. But this is why, and I'm going to give out props to Ron C. and Frank Fee.
You gotta.
You know why? Because they respect the viewers. And I'm about ready to cry. They didn't have to bring Marcy and Michael back. But they know that the fans were upset because Michael and Marcy were written off.
Fantastic
they know
couple.
That they know that we love them and that we wanted closure. So they came up with the idea to bring them back so that we could share in this moment in the birth of their child. So they understand that the fans deserve this, want this, and they're giving it to us. And I cried when Michael called his brother up tell his brother that he was an uncle.
Oh my God.
This is why One Night to Live is so brilliant,
so
because while all this is going on, here John is the whole episode dealing with Mitch Lawrence, wanting to put a bullet in Mitch Lawrence's head, and then he gets this phone call at just the right time.
Yes.
To find out that he's an uncle.
But let me tell you another thing that's beautiful about it.
What?
That every show, or a lot of the shows, maybe not every show, but a lot of the shows incorporate themes. Mm-hmm. For people who actually have brains in their head. And for this particular show, first of all, the birth was beautiful. They called back Marcy and Michael not to do a walk-on, not to say a couple lines, but to actually give this talented actress, Kathy Brier, an opportunity to give birth. That is one of the hardest tasks an actress
has
to do.
She was
really
good.
Fantastic.
Really good.
I'm sorry. She was fantastic.
A first-time mother, she was
fantastic.
Really believable.
And I will forgive that the baby was pretty premature, no?
That baby was big for a premature.
Well, I know, but technically it was pretty premature, wasn't it? Because she just left the show fairly recently.
No. It's been a while since they left the show.
Not 9 months, baby.
Well, she said that she was like 6 weeks.
But it's not even been, okay, maybe it's been 5 months. Okay, maybe it's been 5 months. Okay, listen, it was a little early. But listen, my point is, please, I have a really lovely point. My point is that Ron Carlovati actually cares about themes in his show. And I'm going to cry now. As one character was dying,
yes.
Another character
I may know
was
that
being
too.
Born. It and was... a third character was finding a new life, Matthew, with his surgery. He was being reborn.
Yeah.
So, like, all of it is thoughtful and brilliant.
But that's why, don't you notice at the beginning of the episode, there's always a title for the
always
episode?
Always a title.
And then they always kind of, something. But they always incorporate the title somehow into the script, too.
Yes, yes.
And I somebody will have, like, say the title in a sentence or something. And I'm glad you caught that, because I caught that, too. I thought it was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment that as Jared was leaving us, this baby was being born.
Absolutely.
The cycle of life.
Absolutely.
And again, I gotta stress. I have been watching Young and the Restless, and I you know that I've been grooving on my Young and the Restless. I've been trying to get her to watch Young and the Restless.
I can't even watch.
But
this is
what I'm gonna say. I have to say that I can honestly say, hands down, One Night to Live is the best soap opera, and Ron C is the best soap writer. Not knocking my Tina Maria Arena Bell on Young and the Restless. I love her, But she suffers from what a lot of head writers suffer. They write what the characters they like and they want to write for, and then they don't kind of write for everybody else.
Yeah.
And see, Ron C doesn't do that.
Nope.
And I got to point that out because the one thing that Y&R does that's really great was they were almost losing, they thought they were going to be losing their two leads, Eric Braden and Melody Thomas Scott. And each time that the characters were being written out because what they thought were going to be the last time, they gave them a beautiful farewell. Like, the whole episode was themed around them leaving, about their putting closure on their characters. They showed so many flashbacks to the character's history. They did it with Nikki months ago when they thought she was leaving. They did it with Eric Braden recently because he decided to resign and he's coming back.
Oh, I remember, yeah. That's good. So, I'm glad about
that. But see, and then I think about All My Children and how Marcy Walker and Julia Barr were both disrespected. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God,
Brooke wasn't even Katie McClain as Dixie.
They never showed flashback. They didn't give these characters, especially Brooke, though, because Brooke was just not there. And then it's like months later, somebody was like, oh, she went to go visit Laura in Singapore or something. Oh, like what? What?
I'm
really?
Gonna cry when I
seriously
see her back on the air.
So
I'm
going to give Y&R props for that. But see, the thing is that right now, Y&R is suffering for me because it seems like she doesn't know where she's going with certain storylines. All the boring people that I don't like are on every day. And, you know, and it was such a solid, good run. And see, the thing with One Life to Live is that he knows where he's going. There is never a lull. And I gotta, you know, if you guys get in contact with Ron C, tell him to listen to our podcast now because it's a mix. It's going to be him, you know, One Life to Live and AMC. And I want him to understand that we appreciate
even
that we,
because
it's not in the ratings, guys. The ratings came out this week and I'm very upset that One Life to Live is dead last. Even Stinky As the World Turns is beating One Life
no
to Live. And
sense.
It makes no sense to me. I was
no
telling
sense.
Ashley, the only thing that I could think of is that it's because of the Bible Belt. The Bible Belt people are not watching because they're offended with the gay thing. It happened to All My Children in the late 90s. That's why Lorraine Broderick was let go as head writer, because she was trying to incorporate this beautiful gay storyline on All My Children with Little Chef Ryan. That was your donut hole, right? When little Kevin Sheffield came out of the closet.
I was here when Devin thought she was gay. With
no,
that
this
lady.
Is way after.
Okay.
The ratings
Devin
plummeted for All My Children. And they got rid of Lorraine Broderick and they ended that story. And it was such a great storyline.
I don't know, Jordan Hudson. Here's my thing. First of all, for those of y'all that didn't see, this week, Kyle and Oliver, they're starting their romance again. They're starting over.
Beautiful.
It is beautiful. And they're starting over so realistically, but they're touching, they're kissing, they're making out. They almost had sex, but they decided not to because Layla and Christian came home.
That was so funny.
Awesome.
That's what I'm saying. Those little things are what make
it. But it makes it perfect. It's awesome. And I love how they're doing it. I really feel like it's one of those things, though, Jordan. You can make an argument. Like Howard Stern, do you remember that movie Private Parts?
Mm-hmm.
When the manager was all frustrated because he said, you know, the people that like him, they listen for, you know, 45 minutes. The people that hate him listen for 2 hours. I feel like it's like one of those things. Like, I can't imagine people that not, they might actually be watching because they're so, you know, incensed or upset about it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm trying to figure it out because to me, One Night to Live is
broken. That's what
it's amazing.
You go online,
every day, I'm so
is
impressed
talking about All My Children the way they're talking about One Life to Live. I'm sorry, nobody.
I'm blown away and I'm so impressed every day with One Life to Live. I mean, I literally, if I'm not there watching it live, the minute I get home, that's the first thing I watch because I need my One Life to Live. I mean, I need to know what's going on. I mean, there's so many storylines going on, so many people that I care about. It's just like, I don't know. I don't understand how it's not reflected in
the
ratings.
Even the storylines I hate, Gigi and Rex, Gigi. I don't mind.
Yeah,
there's some real stuff going on.
Yeah. Mm.
Gigi wouldn't let Rex kiss her because she had nasty breath. That was a real moment.
No,
that
no.
That would never happen on All My Children. On All My Children, you get Kendall. First of all, I'm going to go back for 1 second. They go to a seedy motel, right, where Beth Ann Bonner is good. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be the seediest hotel in America. It's disgusting. What does Kendall do? She takes a bubble bath in that nasty-ass tub. I wear flip-flops in the shower when I go to a freaking Best Western, let alone a hole-in-the-wall crappy motel. Disgusting, unrealistic, stupid, insulting to my intelligence. Am I right?
Okay. She gets very passionate
Am
about
I
certain
right,
subjects. No, I agree with you. Look,
Gigi won't let him kiss her because she thinks she had nasty breath, and she probably do.
Now, I agree with you. I'm going to say this.
And her hair? I told you.
What?
It's a cross between Kate Gosselin, Christian Siriano, and a tiny little touch of Rihanna.
Look, I'm no fan of her. I'm going to tell you, my right now, my problem with her is the same problem I have with JP. They're what I call lazy actors. When they like a storyline and they want to be involved, they give it their all. And when they don't, they don't.
I think
Skylar Scott Clifton deserves an award for creating so much chemistry with her when she gives him nothing to play with, because she obviously only wants to work with John Paul. For whatever reason, she only wants to work with John Paul.
I don't agree.
I think she's half-assed.
I don't agree.
I think her performances were half-assed.
Now, interviewed her, and she was very excited about that.
I know, but yet, why isn't she giving it her all?
Because she sucks. She's not good. She thinks all she has to do is just show up, and people will love her.
She is so half-assed in her scenes with him.
All she does is show up to
Everything
work.
Is on him.
Her hair to makeup is perfect. Even when she wakes up from being drunk, her makeup is perfect. All she cares about is her lip gloss. She's an ex-beauty queen. She don't give a shit.
She ain't no beauty. She ain't beautiful.
She's an ex-beauty queen.
Really?
Really? She won beauty pageants and shit. I can say shit.
Really?
Really?
Seriously?
Really?
Really?
Seriously? Really? Really?
Really? That's Saturday Night SNL. Really?
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 Beauty queen?
Yes, really.
Really? Okay. I don't see it. I don't think she's beautiful at all. I think she's funny looking.
That's all I'm saying. She thinks she is. She shows up in her True Religion jeans and she thinks that's what she needs to do.
I don't like her. But anyway, I do like her with Skylar. I will admit that. I do like her despite the fact that she's half-assed in their scenes.
You know who's half-assed?
Who?
You're going to disagree, but you better hear me out. Trevor St. John is back to half-ass as Todd. Ross Rayburn was about to rape Blair. He was about to rape Blair. And Todd comes in and he's like, what do you know about where Taya is? He pulls off Rayburn. He says, what are you doing? Rayburn says, nothing, man. He says, where's Taya? I mean, come on now. Come on. Really? Really?
Really? Seriously? Seriously. Look, I'm going to say this.
I'm sweating from this heating pad. I still got the heating pad on my titty.
Look, I'm going to say this. I don't mind me some Trevor St. John, but I know I'm going to be one of a few, but if I had a choice, Roger Howarth would be back as Todd. I've accepted Trevor St. John as Todd. I think Trevor St. John's brilliant as Todd. I think his Todd is great. But if I could choose, hands down, I would want Roger Howarth as Todd. It's just that Roger Howarth is somebody who never, ever, he's always giving 110%. You have to understand that I've been watching him on As the World Turns for the last few years. And as dog of a storyline as they give him,
he will
play the hell out of it. There is no laziness. And very subtle. His work is so dynamic. And as much as I think that Trevor...
Dynamic.
He's very... Trevor St. John has an incredible amount of chemistry with Florencia.
Yes.
They do.
And he's talented. I'm not knocking him.
But Roger Howarth and Florencia are...
Oh, my God.
Like they. You
had a good theory. Say it again.
Well...
Speaking of Mitch Lawrence, say it again.
Well, for those of you who don't know, when Roger was left as Todd, Todd vanished in the show. And then we found out that Trevor St. John came on first as Walker Lawrence, supposedly Mitch Lawrence's brother. Mm-hmm. And
who is back on the show.
And he showed signs of Todd. And that's when people started putting two together, that was really Todd. What happened was that Mitch, trying to get revenge on Todd, had Todd kidnapped and beaten to a pulp. So Todd, in his craziness, decided to get his face constructed to look like Mitch's brother when he found that Mitch had a brother, and came to town to get revenge on Mitch, pretending to be his brother. So that's how they explained, you know, Todd's look. At one point, there was a point where they thought that there was rumors going around that Roger was coming back, because both him and Trevor St. John were in contract negotiations at the same time. Roger for As Well Turns and Trevor. And there were rumors going around. Of course, Frank Valenti and Ron C were very like...
Valentini.
Whatever. My husband. He don't know it yet, but...
you should show him that picture of your back on Facebook.
Yeah,
he would love it.
Yeah. I'd like to show him something. But anyway, He's a hottie. He anyway, hot. The two of them,
he's hot and bitchy.
Were very, they were very cagey about it. They would only comment like, "We would love Roger to come back," but they wouldn't. I always thought that it would be brilliant to find out that Mitch actually was behind the whole Walker Lauren, and that really was Walker, and that they still had Todd somewhere, and that way you could have Trevor St. John on the show. And
brilliant, brilliant.
You know, but whatever. That's just
our very own Jordan Hudson.
You know, the thing is that I gotta say, I agree with you that sometimes I feel that Trevor St. John makes some weird choices, but you read that article about his acting choices. Technique. I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with it either.
And that's why
his theory is that he doesn't know as the actor, he doesn't know what his character feels. It's just the words. He's basically a vehicle to spit out the words, and it's not his job to know what the character feels. It's the writer knows what the character feels, and the audience will decide. That's what he said. It's up to the audience to decide what the character feels. Bullcrap.
I don't agree with that. Bullcrap. Sorry. Love you to death, but don't agree with that. If that's the way you've been doing it, you're lucky. Lucky you've been getting work, mister, because I don't agree with that at all. You got to know what you're doing. How can you not know what you're playing?
I think that doesn't make any sense, because he will fight to the death for his children. That's one thing that Todd Manning never compromises on, his love for his children.
Yeah, so you got that's a choice right there.
I'm going to tell him about Danny because he knows he will kill her.
And I got to tell you, again, casting department, Danny is perfection. If ever there was a kid, and you know what?
Have a kid with Trevor St. John, that's what it was.
Yeah, but you know what I thought this week? I thought even more so, she looks like she could be Roger Howarth's daughter. Especially when Roger Howarth had the long hair, because Roger Howarth had long hair as Todd.
But she has more his coloring, though.
Oh, she looks like she could be Roger Howarth and Florencia's child. And I love her. She is amazing.
Yeah, hooking up with Matthew,
I love her. I love everything about the way they're playing this, because
the
it's like
love triangle.
It's
Matthew,
a little love triangle,
Destiny,
and there's no bitch. There's
Danny.
Daniela. There's no.
She's Danny.
Wait, no. That was my scene on Friday when her and Taylor were arguing. And it doesn't seem like anybody on the writing staff is Latin, let alone Puerto Rican, but this is such a Latin Puerto Rican thing, because when she was like, Daniela, and she's like, Danny, and she goes, Daniela, you're coming with me. And she goes, yeah, keep telling me what to do, Taya. And Florencia was like, did you call me Taya? That is so Latin. Ooh. You do not call a Latin mother or father by their first name.
That was hysterical.
When I was younger, I got mad at my parents when I was like 15. My mother slapped the shit out of me for calling her by her first name.
I did not dare. Ooh. I had a kid in second grade who called his mother Bonnie. They're like a hippie family. And I looked and I had the fear of God.
No, that's so Latin.
I called my mother Gloria. Holy cow.
But that's what I say.
Shit kicked
that's
out.
What I say. It's those little things that make it so believable. And Florencia was fabulous, because there was this little pause and then she was like, did you call me Taya?
I felt like
And
I
was like, she's going to slap you shit down, Daniela. Let me tell you. I was telling Ellis about it, and Ellis was like, because I told Ellis what happened and what I did, we were laughing, and then I told him that what happened to me, and he was like, you called your mother by her first name? He goes, I would never think of doing that.
Do you understand? A Latin person would not say to a Latin person, you called your mother by your first name. They would be like, you called your mother first name? And they would be like standing behind like a wall of bricks, you know, like they would have the fear of God in them.
That was amazing. I lived for that. Let me tell you, there was so much good stuff I wanted to. What about, we talked about Marcy giving birth. We talked about the Taya.
I know what I want to talk about.
What?
Mitch's gun.
She didn't like Mitch's gun.
Mitch holds his gun like a pansy, let's face it. But you know what I love?
What?
Pure Carlovati camp.
What?
The exhumed dead Nash body.
They
must have had with that on the set.
When poor Jessica came running, and she's like, Nash! And she turned around, it's like this Crypt Keeper thing looking thing. She's like, I was rolling on the floor.
Like a shrunken head,
like,
Nash.
I was like, work. It was fabulous. Bree Williamson. Bree Williamson, I live for you, girl.
I do not live for Fatterly.
Wait, you know you want to know what I loved about One Night to Live 2?
What?
During the week? I love the way the families were all there for each other during this. I love the fact, because have you ever noticed that on All My Children, when somebody like is dying or something, maybe one person will show up? But here Jared is there, and like the whole entire clan's there. Vicky's there, Charlie's there, Bree, like, you know what I mean? Jessica's there. You know what I mean? Like the way it would be in real life.
Yeah, but the problem is that we dissed on all my children for the same thing. How did they all instantly, did Jared go to Landview or did...
No, Jared wasn't like they all showed up. They all went there.
So that's my same gripe. It's like that's like a 5-hour plane ride, Bobby, or 8-hour plane ride.
I overlook it though. All right, fine. I overlook that. For that, I overlook.
My children, we don't.
Yeah, because I know my children, it makes no sense. All right, fine. But here they got the Buchanan jet that could take them anywhere.
Oh, you got a point. I forgot about
they
that.
They got the Buchanan jet. No, they're not getting tickets to go to some mysterious island called Puerto Rico.
That's true. Actually, they do use a lot of commercial airlines on all my children.
You're right. So what else did I like?
Did you like Roxy? And Skylar.
How intense were those scenes when Skylar slammed the door on her? But see, that's what I'm saying. Those were realistic scenes. See, this is what Ron Cedar does so well, is that characters that cross to further the storyline. Here, Roxy is looking out for her son, wondering what Gigi was doing. I love what she said. And I know she was doing the walk of shame because I've done it myself. That was amazing. Let me tell you something. Eileen Kristen was fabulous. And the way they ended it with him and her arguing and him slamming the door, loved it. I love the scenes with Elijah and Danny.
Yes.
Oh, they need to keep Elijah on.
How come they have to. Ross did not introduce Danny to Eli all those years?
No, I don't think. First of all, you got to remember that Ross and Eli are not those kind of brothers. They're not Puerto Rican brothers. They have not been in touch, you know, throughout all the time. They obviously we've already discovered that Ross has a temper and he has some, you know, some anger management issues.
He didn't come out with a temper, did he?
He was
goofy, which I loved.
I know, but you got to remember, this man was hired by Roger Howard's Todd to help kidnap anybody that would help some guy for money kidnap his children has a few morals loose. You know what I mean? Yeah. So obviously we're already talking about somebody that isn't like 100% stable.
Yeah.
When Taya first talked about Ross, she talked about the fact that Ross was a little bit abusive and crazy, and that's when it, you know, and now we know the full story. The reason she's keeping Daniela away is because he's threatened to kidnap Daniela and take him with her.
But when he first came on, Papi, none of this was an issue. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think they slowly introduced them. You can't just throw everything out, you know, all kit and caboodle the first time.
No, I understand that. But
no, but I think that they
still need to be pieces, like little things mentioned here and there.
Yeah, but I think again, the fact that you got to look at the fact that she's been keeping it quiet. You got to wonder why has Taya. There has to be a reason that Taya has been keeping quiet. Like, I look at it that way. I remember the original Ross, and I remember the fact that this man was going to help kidnap kids. So I think already sleazeball. So I like that, but I love the scenes with Elijah and Danny because they were very realistic. They had him. Elijah needs to stay on. I love Elijah.
He's great. See, when they had my children, he was a pedophile.
Yeah,
which was disgusting.
I thought the scenes with him and Danny were great. Taya and Nora on Friday's episode. Mm-hmm. How fierce was Taya and Nora?
Good.
Though, again, brilliant combination.
Basically, what happened was Taya apologized to Nora for fighting for Matthew to get the surgery. Because now she realizes, now that Danny was at risk, she realizes that she put her, you know, Nora's son at risk.
Yeah, Nora wasn't having it. She was like, yeah, it's a little too late, baby. Sorry. But the two of them have so much chemistry. They play.
Taya said, but you're all I got right now, baby.
Yeah. It was very well written, very well acted. They play off each other so well.
But now, who was the best this week in some ways? David and Destiny, weren't they on this week as well?
David and Destiny have great, great chemistry.
Fantastic.
But this is what I'm talking about, putting two characters together that normally you wouldn't even think of doing and creating this relationship, you know? I mean, I was rolling on the floor when she came back and told Sean, and she was...
Damn it,
my phone! It's my sister. Oh. Hold on. Hello, can I call you back? Okay. Right.
You never turn off that phone on
purpose. I'm so sorry. You gotta remind me because it's in my pocket. You guys, it's in my pocket. You gotta remind me.
My phone is always on silent.
Okay. So, So wait.
What the hell were we even talking about?
Oh, Destiny and Sean. When she told Sean that she went to London with David Vickers, he's like, David Vickers? I was on the floor.
Where was the British Noel?
Neville.
I love Mason Neville. Neville's fantastic.
Neville, David had me rolling. But see, I love those scenes.
I love his nasty teeth.
I love the scenes with Destiny and Sean.
Yes.
And she told Sean to go talk to Greg.
Yes.
And they busted. And when Destiny busted Rachel and Greg making out. And then Sean came and Sean was like, then you got to do it for me because you owe me. Those were all believable, realistic
Sean
scenes.
Sean is fantastic. And Sean and Destiny is fantastic.
Sean
too.
And Destiny are so.
He treats her Greg, just like I'm Nash's little sister.
Greg, I'm still iffy about.
I love Greg. Shut up.
I know you do. I still find Greg to be the weak link. He seems that. Watch him the next time. He seems to be very uncomfortable with
Bullshit.
His arms. He
Bullshit.
Doesn't. He never knows what to
Bullshit.
Do with his arms.
Bullshit.
I love me some Rachel.
I tell him what he can do with his arms.
I love it. Well, we found out.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard what you said.
Nice.
No, my black man's on V. Morris Chestnut. What?
By the way.
Oh.
By the way.
What?
The Hollywood Reporter said that the V ratings plunged more than any show, the second episode of any show this season.
Don't tell me that. Seriously. Don't tell me that.
It looks like a piece of crap to me.
It is awesome. I'm so disappointed to hear that. It is awesome.
Stupid.
That's so upsetting
to
me.
How does that lady speak perfect English?
Who?
That V lady.
Honey, it's sci-fi. Don't, you can't.
Yes, you can.
You cannot analyze
yes,
sci-fi.
You can.
No, you can't.
Oh, yes, you can.
This
can
is
I tell you the most perfect movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Never
perfect.
Saw it. Never.
You never saw Close Encounters of the Third
no,
Kind?
No, that looks boring.
Oh, my God. I can't. Get out. Get out.
Have you seen Fourth Encounters?
Get out.
Have you seen Fourth Encounters?
I don't know what that is.
That's the new one with Mila Jovovich.
Get out.
Have you seen Precious?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, then don't talk to me.
All
you
right,
haven't seen Precious.
I
take Precious.
Precious has been out 3 days. Close Encounters has been out for 3 decades.
No,
get out.
Precious has been out for like a week now. What are you talking about? Anyway.
3 decades.
Look, I'm very upset with you just
said. Can you write and tell Jordan Hudson he's insane that he is not seeing Close Encounters?
I'm very upset right now with
you
talking about V.
If you can sit there and watch Ryan's Hope, you can watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Look, Ryan's Hope's fabulous.
It's brilliant.
Ryan's Hope is more brilliant than most of the soaps on the air right now.
I agree with that. I agree.
I am loving me my Ryan's Hope. A 30-year-old soap opera. Meanwhile, you guys got to go to welovesoaps.net. They interview my Claire Levine. Live.
Well,
it was amazing.
You should send me these links. Don't tell me these things. Send me the links because then I just
I
you hear me, Jordan Hudson?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was amazed with the interview and the stuff that they got out of her. It was amazing. I totally tell you. Go to welovesoaps.net. All right, so wait. You didn't like Charlie's Secret. I believe that you didn't believe it.
We found out that the
reason they were able to blackmail Jared was because Charlie, in a drunken stupor, killed his stepfather, and they covered it up. You don't believe it? I believe it. He was a drunk. They've already established that Charlie was
now,
an alcoholic.
This is what I'm gonna say.
Alcoholics do things and don't remember. They have
Can
blackouts.
I say
Go
this?
Ahead. Where's my water?
When
Go ahead.
I don't know where it went. Listen. When Chuck Prattholt is handed a contract, you know, cancellation or a character being written off, he does dumbass, stupid shit. The worst stupid shit. All right? So I'm going to give Carlovati credit. He was told that Jared had to go and maybe even Charlie had to go.
Well, I don't know about that. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor, okay?
Rumor is that the guy who plays Charlie is on his way out.
So that being said, the man has respect for his show. He has respect for the viewer. He tries to craft as reasonable a story as possible. And that's what I agree he did. It's a reasonable story. It's a little bit of a sudden turn for me personally. I don't have the history you have with the show, but it is a convenient storyline. Still, I respect it. I don't enjoy it as much, but I respect it.
All right, but I'll say this. I believe it because we're talking of Charlie's not somebody who's been in the show for 50 years. We don't know every aspect of his past. Things do crop up. And I do, and we've already established that they have a complicated history, that he was an alcoholic, that his stepfather was, you know, his stepfather wasn't, they never explain how the stepfather died. You know, there's all this history, so they're mining the history. I think what you got to look at is the payoff, because I don't know if it was Jamie Giddens or Luke at Daytime Confidential, but somebody I read somewhere that the rumor was that Charlie was on his way out, and I whoever did the article said they can't kill another one of Vicky's husbands off, because Vicky loses husbands like nobody. Like, her daughters are inheriting her ability to like lose husbands.
You're gonna have to start worrying about her. JJ, but JJ.
And the thing is, like, they were like, they can't kill another one of Vicky's husbands off. But see, this would be a brilliant way to write him off, because this man who is an ex-alcoholic, you know he's going to go back to the bottle. He lost his son.
I like to say bottle.
He lost his son right now for something that he did that he didn't even remember.
I give you that.
This is going to be some powerful stuff
to give
Vicky and Charlie to deal with. If they're even writing him off. But even if they're not writing him off, still, it's going to be a great storyline because I know he has to go back to the bottle. How would he not? Did you not see the look on his face when he found out his son died on Friday? Yeah. That was powerful acting.
Unlike JR, who goes back to the bottle when the weather's bad.
Oh, shit,
it's going to rain.
He goes back to the bottle.
I'm going
to
drink.
He goes back to the bottle when his favorite contestant on So You Think You Could Dance gets voted off.
That's right. Speaking of, I am watching.
What?
I'm not watching.
What?
SYTCD.
I'm in love with Victor, so I have to watch.
I'm not watching.
Victor's this hot Latin boy from Florida who I'm madly obsessed over. Like, he dances and he smiles and I'm mesmerized by him.
I'm madly in love with him. Even though none of those people are stars. Don't look at me like that, Jordan Hudson.
I'm not even going to comment.
He's not commenting.
You know my feeling about Dancing with the Stars. Getting back to One Night to Live.
What?
We talked about the circle of life, that Jared died and Marcy. I cried with Michael Cole. We talked about that. Charlie may be on my the sex and departure story. Love, Mary's doctor. So, yeah, love. Talked about that. Okay, wait. We didn't talk about Mitch Lawrence. Mitch Lawrence is back. Mel B. Not Mel B. Mel got served. Mel got served who asked recently on the blog about Mitch Lawrence's history. So I'm going to give you a really quick update.
But by the way, people, my man is out walking the children. That's how we're able to do this podcast. And he's coming home in about 5 minutes.
All right. So I'm gonna give you the speedy Mitch Lawrence history. So you do people who don't know. Mitch Lawrence is a fascinating and interesting character that goes back to 1985. He originally came into town. He got involved off camera with Tina when Tina was gone the first time she left. And she came back first and found out that she was really a lord. She was Victor Lord's illegitimate daughter. When Mitch Lawrence found out, he came to town because he found out that Tina would inherit the Lord fortune if Vicky's personalities would come back. So he came up with a scheme to make that happen so that Tina could inherit the thing. But Tina found out that what his real scheme was for Vicky to kill Clint. And then to kill Clint and then frame Vicky. So she put a stop to it.
Okay.
Yeah, so she put a stop to it. He got arrested and sent to jail. While he was in jail, he discovered God. And when he was released, he became a cult leader. And he was preying on the young girls that were involved in the cult. And it was very timely at that time because, you know, all that stuff was going on in the late 70s and 80s with, like, that Reverend Jim and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it was a very interesting storyline. One of the young girls who got involved in his cult was Cassie Callison, Dorian's young daughter. And when he attempted to rape Cassie, Dorian clocked him over the head. And we thought that Mitch died. Years later, we found out that Rex Balsam's supposed father, Dr. Balsam, was one of the cult members, and he actually helped Mitch cover up the fact that he wasn't dead, and it made it seem like Mitch was really dead. So
that's who Rex thought it was his father?
Well, no, Rex thought that, yeah, Rex was believing that Balsam. Dr. Balsam was his father, but it seems that Dr. Balsam was part of the cult, and Dr. Balsam was Vicky's gynecologist that delivered the babies, the obstetrician who delivered the babies. And then we found out years later that Natalie came to town in 2001 and she was claiming to be the real Buchanan heir. So they thought the babies were switched at first.
Oh.
And then it wound up the babies weren't switched because they took a blood test and it wound up that Jessica was still Vicky's daughter.
Okay.
So they found out that Mitch had raped Vicky at the same time that Vicky had become impregnated by Clint. So she wound up getting impregnated by two different men, which is possible.
It is possible.
She was able. So that's, they're fraternal twins. They're not identical. They're fraternal twins. Same mother, different fathers. So
wait a minute. So Jessica's dad is Mitch Lawrence.
Jessica's dad is Mitch Lawrence.
Her dad, Fatherly's dad is who?
Natalie's dad is Clint, biological.
I'm gonna get trouble saying that.
Yeah. But when Mitch came to town, he married Natalie because I gotta tell you, as much as we don't like Natalie, she was interesting the first like year and a half she was on the show.
Married
yes.
Natalie?
Yes.
And that was her dad.
Well, no, you gotta Jessica's dad is Mitch.
Oh.
Listen to what I'm saying.
Creepy.
When you only know boring Natalie, washed down Natalie. When Natalie first came on the show, she had some fire in her. She was a very interesting character.
I remember. It was like she was trying to like finagle her way.
They ruined it by watering the character down. But when she was so desperate for attention, Mitch gave her attention, so she married Mitch.
Oh, shit.
And then, get this, even more sick, Mitch was hiding Victor Lord Vicky's father. He was alive, and he needed a heart transplant.
He died because Vicky went crazy at the casket, didn't she?
Yeah. But, well, no, what happened was he needed a heart transplant. You know what Mitch was going to do?
What?
He was going to give Natalie's heart to Victor Lord.
Oh, that's dumb.
And then...
I'm not impressed.
Then...
This was not Mr. Carvalhard. Then...
No, this wasn't Carvalhard. Then he married Dorian, because Dorian came back to town, and Dorian...
That's how she became Dorian Lord.
No, no, Dorian Lord was married to Victor years ago.
Okay.
She was Vicky's stepmother.
Okay.
That's where their feud comes from.
Come on, Jordan Hudson, I'm starting to fall asleep.
And so then Mitch, don't tell me that. Then Mitch married Dorian because he was scheming to get the Lord Fortune. And Dorian, of course, wanting the Lord Fortune was in cahoots with him, even though it made no sense because of what Mitch and her history. But the bottom line is that then Mitch got revenge on Todd. He had Todd beaten up, and this goes to present time. So now that the fact that Mitch is back is a really good thing because Mitch has ties to everybody. This is going to be
Pamela Stewart.
She.
God damn it.
You know that when you start talking about histories and soap, it sounds ludicrous. You know that, right?
Yes.
It sounds insane. And you just,
it is insane.
Pamela Stewart was Asa's wife that he had hidden on an island somewhere.
Oh, my God. All right. I'm sorry I asked. How is Mitch Lowe getting away? How is he going to get away with murdering Jared?
It's going to be interesting. But you saw how diabolical he was. You saw how he was telling John all this stuff. He was claiming that Jared kidnapped him.
He held his gun like he holds a handful of posies.
I didn't agree that you was weak. I love Mitch. Roscoe Bourne is great. I love me. He's not as cute as he once was
because
he was hot on Ryan's Hope.
I'm not dissing it. I'm just saying he can't hold a gun. For the devil incarnate, he don't know how to hold a gun.
Look, I love these religious nuts. They I love characters
and
like
Natalie,
that. It's scary.
And
the way he was quoting the Bible and
Jessica,
and shit.
Oh, that was great.
That's what I'm telling you.
When he quoted the Bible, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then this is what I mean about caring about your show. The directorial choice at that point was to hear him reciting that passage. And then you see the different
scenes.
You see like the hospital scene of Jared dying. You see like Marcy giving birth. You see like a bunch of different scenes. Matthew going in for the surgery. It was, I loved it. Did you love it?
I loved it.
When did
I know? It was intense. That's what I'm saying. Mitch Lawrence coming back is a really good thing.
I gotta pump my titties.
You see Mad Men?
Yeah!
How good was Mad Men? Oh my God!
So good.
How good was Mad Men?
Good.
Did I not tell you they were building up to something?
Yes.
And I didn't see it coming. I was blown away. But you know what was even more powerful? The episode before that, when they were all reacting to JFK getting shot. Brilliant.
That was powerful, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If you tell me that the gut January Jones did anything decent when Don Draper told her the truth, I'm going to kill you.
I like her.
Oh, come on.
I like her. I'm sorry.
And
I disagree
when
with
she
you.
Told the kids, when they were.
Who are you, Ashton Kutcher?
Listen. When they were telling the children that they were getting divorced, I'm going to cry. There was not one drop of tear in that bitch's eyes. I'm going to call her bitch.
I'm going to explain something to you.
Time out. That little boy looked like my little Jesse, and he was holding on to his daddy for dear life, and she didn't even blink. Dead behind the eyes, January Jones. Dead behind the eyes.
You're not going to want to hear this. But you're looking at it from a Latin point of view.
I don't give a shit. You're wrong.
This is a wasp from Connecticut.
To be inhuman
in the 60s.
To not be emotional.
I disagree
about
with you.
Like
I disagree that. With you. She is a product of that time period. Women, they didn't show emotions like that.
Oh, shit.
They didn't carry on.
How
this
come Don
this
Don
isn't
Draper
Telemundo.
Did. Listen, Don Draper doesn't have to cry. What's the actor's name again?
I forgot.
Oh my God, I forgot his name. I love him so much.
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Whatever, we're blank. I got mommy brain. He didn't have to cry. The pain in his face was palpable. Palpable. And when he came in, he found out that she was in like with that governor. In love, I should say. And he called her a whore. All he had to do was look at her and grab her and say, "You're a whore." And I was on the floor. And she didn't even respond. She was like, "What are you doing? Get off me, Don. Don't call me a whore."
Those were some intense scenes, I gotta say.
Not because of her!
Ugh, whatever. I loved Mad Men. Mad Men went out with a bang. It was great.
My little girl's asleep downstairs. I gotta go, Poppy.
All right.
All right. Listen, if you want to write us, you can email us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our Facebook page. We are the Pine Valley Podcast fan page, or you can go to Ashley Mendoza's page, or you can go to Jordan Hudson's page. We would love to befriend you and share information with y'all. Go to the blog site as well, www.pinevalleypodcast.blogspot.com. Leave your ass to thoughts and opinions. What else do I need to plug? Need to thank Luis once again for that rocking opening. So much fun. We loved it. And who else? Oh, go to daytimeconfidential.com. Go to www.myspace.com/superposterofthe year. He gives spoilers. We don't, and his are way better anyway. Who else we need to thank? We need to thank Shadow for being our substitute blogger when we can't blog. What else?
Send us your ideas for the names change.
Oh, name change. We need name change ideas.
Give us ideas.
Go to welovesoaps.net.
Yes.
Fantastic. Continue to look at Nelson Bronco's column. He is on TV Guide Canada. Oh, come on now. I love me some Nelson Bronco.
I love me some Nelson, but he don't like Beth Chamberlain.
All right, fine.
Oh, watch V.
Yeah, it needs it.
Watch all the ABC shows. ABC's rocking. Ugly Betty, Moving to Wednesdays. Watch that. Watch those comedy shows on Wednesday.
Yes, they're funny.
Go back to Grey's. Grey's has been excellent this season. Watch Glee. Keep the shows alive.
Watch Mad Men next time.
And more importantly, watch One Life to Live.
People, because we are living for one life to live. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Trent Hudson.
Here's a little something just for you.
You don't need a glass, do you?
The janitor's daughter? Come here.
Look, I've seen you drink champagne out of a $200 flute. Don't kid yourself. Besides, this is America. Even the janitor's daughter can grow up to be the first lady.
Or president.
All right, I stand politically corrected. Look, with your education, you've got enough grit. You can do whatever you want. Why are you bothered by this penthouse and a few million bucks?
I don't know if I can make you understand. Do you see any difference in our skin color?
No.
No. But when I fill out a form for the census or my health insurance, I can't check off white. I'm Hispanic.
So what?
So, if your last name were Delgado instead of Manning, you'd be considered a totally different race, even if everything about you were exactly the same. Look, if you lived in the basement of a Park Avenue apartment building, you'd understand what I meant. The public school where I went to high school was very, very Upper East Side Manhattan. Full of kids whose rich, liberal parents wanted their children to mix with minorities. I mean, that's what we were. Part of the lesson plan, you know, to teach those kids about tolerance. I felt like I wore a sign on me that said, you know, minority. But I looked just like those Anglos, so I figured it wasn't my outside. It must have been something about my inside that made me different. Something invisible.
Maybe they were just stupid.
I remember begging my father for ballet classes. Ah, I remember that first class. Oh, the teacher, Miss Julia. She had long blonde hair twirled up into a ballet bun. She had pale pink tights and a black leotard and a tasteful little diamond on a gold chain around her neck. I wanted to be just like her. Miss Julia referred to us all by our first names. There was Amy, Alice, Elizabeth, Karen, and Taya, so nobody knew my secret. Finally, I was one of them. We giggled and shared confidences and finally started to become friends, you know? I mean, Alice even asked me to come visit her at her family's place in the Hamptons. I'd never even heard of the Hamptons. I was in heaven. Then the mothers and the babysitters started to arrive to pick us up. I had totally forgotten about Abuela. I tried to act like she was my nanny. But
Abuela, in her broken English, told everyone how proud she was of her granddaughter, the ballerina. In that instant, everything just changed. You know, to this day, I have yet to go to the Hamptons.
Well, the Hamptons probably suck eggs. And sounds like your ballet class is a bunch of little racists.
Yeah, well. Rachel says you're a racist. She says you made some pretty rude remarks while she was seeing Kevin for a while.
Well, they made some pretty rude remarks about me, if I remember right.
Yeah, but not about race.
I was probably just trying to push their buttons.
Is that an excuse?
No. It's just a fact of my life. I probably was a jerk. I still am, if I want to be. But now I'm a different kind of jerk. Now I'm an acceptable jerk. But some people, they just hold on to their old ideas about me.
So are you saying you've changed, or that it was all an act?
Both. Sometimes I just stir things up just to see what happens.
Well, you've never treated me with disrespect.
I've never had to.
I have a feeling that the things you value are different from what most other people value.
I don't care what other people value. You might want to try that. It takes away all their leverage.
I told myself I didn't care. I turned my back on my own people very deliberately in law school. And then when I came to Landview, I didn't become part of the Angel Square Latino community. That's why I was an outsider with those people at the wedding tonight. Just as I was an outsider on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
And that's bad.
Well, it's strange. I mean, I grew up with that music, that food, people speaking Spanish, you know. At the wedding, I suddenly remembered how it feels to belong.
Well, you're still the same person.
Yeah. To the Anglo world, I'll always be a Latina, but to my own people, I'm a deserter. That's why I don't fit in anywhere. There is my problem.
Or you fit in everywhere. What's wrong with that?
No, if I can't accept what made me, then what real foundation do I have to build upon?
You've done all right so far.
Not everyone would agree with you.
Oh, right. Aside from marrying the town pariah.
At least I know why I did that. I'm not so sure about some of the other choices I've made.
Look, you've got to do what you do and let the rest of the world do whatever it is that they do.
But I don't need anyone. But, maybe I'm wrong. Abuela thinks so.
Look, with your brains and your looks and your motivation and my money, you can have anything, any way that you want it. So what is it that you want, Delgado?